I want to look at a portion of Scripture, probably that's somewhat familiar, one of the stories probably that was learned in Sunday school or Bible school, and try to magnify a truth that's in my heart tonight. Verse number 8 of Exodus chapter number 17, the Bible said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim." There's a message just in that verse right there, but that's not what I'm going to dwell on tonight. Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have your hands ever gotten heavy? Has there ever been a time in your life when if God hadn't put somebody in your life, come alongside and hold up your hands, there would have been a great defeat rather than a great victory? The Bible said here, Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady. I love that statement, don't you? His hands were steady, but they were not steady without help. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar. Boy, it was a time to thank God, wasn't it? And called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." I want you to think tonight about this man in the Bible that we don't find in too many places. He's not recognized in a lot of places, but this man by the name of Hur. And we read about Aaron in several places in the Bible. We read about Moses, the great leader, in several places in the Bible. But this man is not a whole lot said about him in the Word of God. But in this passage of Scripture, there's enough that God would have us to magnify this man's life tonight. I'd like to preach for a little while tonight on the subject, people like Hur. People like Hur. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to read the Bible. And Lord, you said that you put this here for our admonition, for our learning, for an example that we might learn. Lord, we are reminded often that all of the Bible is not written to us, but all of the Bible is written for us. And God, we pray tonight that you would help us to glean truth in our lives tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a little bit by way of introduction tonight. Hur, according to Josephus, is thought to be the husband of Miriam, Moses' sister. And he had a relationship to Moses. He was close to the man of God. He admired the man of God. He appreciated the man of God. He wanted to do what he could for the man of God, whether he was ever recognized for it or not. Tonight I'd like to talk about people like her. I have a text message tonight that I want to share a portion of with you in the onset of the message. The Lord, I guess it's been, I lose track of time, at least a month, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, that he dealt with my heart about this passage of Scripture. And yet when I looked at it, it was just like it wasn't warm, it wasn't time. And I've looked at it several times since then. This afternoon, I went out to eat with my little niece and Bobby and Eddie and come back and sat down out here on the couch and looked at the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Lord began to bring my heart back to this passage of Scripture and back to what He had given me several weeks prior. And He began to warm my heart a little bit, and about that time my phone went off. I have it turned on silent tonight, but I heard my phone go off, and I picked up my phone and I received this text message. And perhaps before I tell you, read part of the message, I should tell you that yesterday morning, that before we went out on visitation, there was 19 or 20 of us gathered around up here in the front, and Brother Steve shared a portion of Scripture, and we made a video to try to be a blessing to Brother Brian and Sister Kim. And all the people that were on the visitation team, I said a few words, and then part of us stood over here with a sign that said, "We love you." Part of us stood over here with a sign that said, "We miss you." And part of us stood here in front of the communion table with a sign that said, "We're praying for you." And then we said that out loud together as each group came to the front. And so I got this text message while I'm looking at this, and you said, "Preacher, I don't understand why you'd share this with you." I'm going to tell you what, this warms my heart, and if it doesn't warm yours, that's your problem. Amen. I love it when the Holy Spirit works, and He works sometimes in mysterious ways. And the text came from Sister Kim, and she said, "We just got through watching our video. We both sat here and cried. We miss everyone so much. And it was so good to see everyone's smiling faces. Brother John, Kim's even going to pick on you. Listen to what she said. I believe we also saw John smiling." I like that, don't you? Glory to God. God's still in the miracle business. Amen. He can get a smile out of John Dockery at the right time. Amen. I'm picking on you, Brother John. Amen. She said, "And hear their encouraging messages. Again, our church family going above and beyond to send us love and their support. The Lord has blessed us tremendously to have you all behind us, listen, and lifting us up. Brian was just saying, it's hard to imagine being so low that you can't lift yourself up. But now that he is experiencing that, he knows how important it is to have those who can hold you up to the Lord in prayer. What a blessing. I have no words to say how much that meant to us this morning. We were sitting around feeling low and wanting to be home. Seeing that really helped lift our spirits. We need to focus on his blessings, how he's allowed us to be here in the med center, and how our kids are so well taken care of, and how we have good insurance, and how many people back home are praying for us." Well, needless to say, the Holy Ghost had begun to light a fire concerning this thought. But after I got through reading that text message, I said, "Okay, Lord, you don't have to get a big stick and hit me over the head with it." Amen. Brother Kevin, I didn't even have to bend over and be kicked. Amen. God said, go with it. And he began to build the message even more in my heart. People like her, let's get on into it tonight. Give you four simple thoughts tonight, but I believe tonight will be a blessing. First of all, let's look at the value of people like her. The value of individuals like this man in the Bible. You know, when I came to the pulpit tonight, I didn't plan on saying this. But listen to me carefully. Brother Gale's not been here today. He was here last Sunday. Brother Joe, you probably fight this same battle. But Brother Gale has told me, preacher, I'm up in years. There's not much I can do anymore. And there's kind of sometimes the spirit of just giving up. How many's listening to me tonight? But I wonder tonight if Brother Gale knows what it means to a church and what it means to a man of God to have people like that, Brother Grizzle, holding your hands up. Off in a closet somewhere. Can't see them. Don't recognize them. Don't know, beloved, that they're doing it. But they're praying. Amen. I'll get into that a little bit later. The value. Listen, her knew the value of intercessory prayer. The rod in Moses' hand lifted up, it indicated two very crucial things. Number one, at first it meant that Moses understood the source that was needed in order to obtain the victory. Moses knew the victory wasn't in him. And the source wasn't in him, but it was in the one he was reaching up to. It was in the one, beloved, listen, that in that rod gave him power for what was needed among the children of Israel. Amen. He knew the source. And beloved, listen, the second thing that Moses understood was the strength that was needed to obtain that victory. Beloved, Moses had come to a place where he even had to sit down. They got him a rock to sit down on. I don't know if you've ever trekked through the woods very long or not, but if you start at the bottom and just to go to the top, somewhere in between, or when you get to the top, you'll look, I like to find a stump. I like to find a log. If I can't find any of that, I'll kick me out a place in the leaves and rear back against a tree. Sometimes you can find the big old roots that go down like that and just form a God-given recliner right out in the middle of the woods. Amen. And just rest. Moses didn't have the strength in and of himself to stand or to lift his hands. But thank God, he knew the source and he knew the strength that was needed. But listen, when he couldn't do it himself, thank God, God had an Aaron on one side and a hair on the other side to lift up his hands to the heavens. Beloved, we need to understand the value, you see, of people like her. Let me give you this second thing that the Lord spoke to my heart about. We need to understand the vision of people like her. What do you mean? What is it that her, standing up there beside Moses, was seeing? You remember where he was situated? On top of the hill. The battle was going on down in the valley. Glory to God. I want to tell you something right now. Honey, when you're in the valley, you'll be glad for somebody that's on top of the hill. Amen. Somebody that can get a hold of God. Somebody that can get a prayer through. He was seen in his vision from the top of the hill. I wrote in my notes here, let's make that hill typical of Calvary. Glory to God. My friend, the valleys in our life need to be weighed out alongside a hill called Calvary. Amen. Never lose sight of the vision that God has given us of that place called Calvary. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life I believe I would have flat given up if God hadn't have brought somebody alongside just to remind me. Just to lift up my hands and say, preacher, don't quit. Go on another mile. Jesus didn't quit. He didn't stop in the garden. He didn't stop at Golgotha. He went all the way to the cross. And then he came out of the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Went and took a seat at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. See, from the top of the hill. Number one, the vision he had was from the top of the hill. He could see clearly from the top of the hill. How many believes? Listen. Our enemy don't want us seeing from the top of the hill. He wants our vision all mucked up and muddied up. Amen. He wants us to back off in the corner somewhere and think, well, nobody's ever been through anything like this. But I'll tell you, our Lord went through more than all of us together will ever go through. We could see that from the top of the hill. Secondly, he was seen from alongside of God's man. I don't know this. I can't say this. The Bible doesn't say. But personally, I don't believe Moses sat there and didn't say anything while he was sitting there. I believe as Aaron and Hur had the hands of the man of God lifted up. How many be with me right here? I believe that man of God was talking to the Lord. You say he was weak. I'll tell you what, he might have been weak. But what did the Bible say? Paul said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. I believe he was getting a hold of the God of heaven. I don't believe Hur would ever forget what he was seeing and experiencing in the man of God. And I don't believe the man of God will ever forget what he was experiencing with two men that wouldn't let his hands down, but stood right there beside of him. The ministry at times can be very lonely. A pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, many times is very, very misunderstood. Moses many times was very misunderstood by the people of Israel. But beloved, it's a blessing to know that these men were standing near to the heart of God's man and weren't not going to let his hands down. They could see from the top of the hill. They could see from alongside of God's man. But then Hur could see that the battle is still raging. In other words, they had already experienced when Moses was doing it himself that when he got tired and let them hands down, that the children of Israel were losing on the battlefield. And beloved, you say, preacher, why did they keep standing there? Why did they keep his hands up? How many's with me tonight? How many knows there's a battle still raging in our generation? We need to lift one another's hands. We need to be there like this man called Hur. I was thinking about this. It's kind of funny, kind of a side thought. I'll spell it out for you so that if somebody gets on the internet and listens to this, they won't get all messed up. But Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president, she had everybody carrying signs around that said, I'm with Hur. H-E-R. Well, I want to stand here tonight and say I'm with Hur. H-U-R. 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 Make sure everybody hears that. Amen. We ought to be looking for somebody to stand alongside of. Stand in the gap for them. Be a blessing to them along life's way. The visibility, number three, of people like Hur. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about now what he can see. I'm talking about now those that see him. Beloved, many times in our life, people like Hur are in the shadows. They're in the background. They're out of sight. Nobody knows what the, how many's with me right here? The children of Israel, Brother Rose, are down in that valley and they're fighting for their life. They're fighting for the victory. They're not standing there looking up on the hill at Moses and looking at Hur and looking at Aaron. But beloved, they're involved in the battle. But I'll tell you this, though they may be out of sight, they're still necessary in the work of God. I say this tonight. They've got MRIs and they've got X-rays, and I can't think of that other one. CAT scans. Poor dogs got left out, but they got CAT scans. And they can take some of those things and they can tell there's a heart inside of me. You can't see my heart, but I know I need it. You can't see my lungs, but I know I need them. I'm telling you, around the house of God and around the church of the living God, there's a whole lot you can't see, but it's just as needed as what you can see. Not too many people saw her up there. Not too many people saw Aaron. But I'll tell you this. Not too many people even mention it in the Word of God. But God helps us to understand. It's just as needed. That rod is just as needed, if not more so. Those hands being lifted up is just as needed, if not more so, as the swords and the spears and the armor in the valley taking place in the fight. I stand here. Everybody sees. Everybody hears. You say, preacher, God's blessing our church. I want you to know this. It's not because of me. There's a whole lot more than what you can see that goes into a successful ministry. A whole lot more than what you can see. I believe with all of my heart, her. He doesn't want to be recognized. He doesn't want to be seen. But what did God say? I'm putting this in there for a memorial. I want you to go back and talk about it every once in a while. I want you to understand the man of God's hands got heavy. I want you to understand the importance of someone coming alongside. And listen to me. That goes for every child of God. You can see my hand. You can see my fingers. You can see my thumbs. You can see my eyes. You can see my nose. You can see my ears. You can see my face. You can see my arms. You can see my legs. You can see my feet. All of those things are important to one body. But just as important are those things that you cannot see that's on the inside. That's on the inside. You know, I believe we need people like her. The Bible told us, you remember, that the body of Christ is much like that. The hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Or the ear to the foot, I don't need you. It's all connected up. And I always illustrate it like this. I don't know why. I guess because I have vivid memories of dropping a heavy piece of steel on your toe. How do you drop something heavy on your toe and get sick at your stomach? I don't know how you do it, but I know if you drop something heavy enough on your toe, you'll get sick at your stomach. How is it? Maybe somebody can explain. But how is it you get a bad headache and get sick? How many's with me tonight? How many believes it's all hooked up? How many believes in the body of Christ it's all hooked up? And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to get those hers off in the corner and convince them that they're not needed, they're not important, they're not appreciated. I'm going to tell you something right now. Wait till the judgment seat. Wait till the judgment seat. Somebody said, boy, there'll be a long list of pastors up there in the front at the judgment seat. I'll tell you what there'll be. There'll be a long list of prayer warriors up there in the front at the judgment seat. I believe with all my heart, God wants us to magnify people like her. Let me give you this tonight. The last thing in the message, the victory. The victory of people like her. I just appreciate tonight that in the Word of God, God gave the people of Israel a great victory as a result of a man of God willing to take his place and two men alongside willing to take their place. Let me give you some things tonight. First of all, how many believes this victory was recorded in the heart of Moses? I believe as long as Moses could remember anything, he could remember a day, Brother Ralph, when he couldn't lift his own hands. But somebody stood alongside, said, let me help you.
I believe it's recorded in the heart of Moses. I don't believe Moses could get away from it. I had a little record went off in my heart last week. Let me tell you about it. I was over at Brother Bob's, or Brother Eddie's, his son. That's where Brother Bob's been staying for, I guess, a couple of months. And I was over at Brother Bob's, and Brother Bob asked me about the hearing aids. He said, are you going to get them hearing aids? And I said, yes, sir. I said, I'm excited about it, brother. I said, when I found out my brain is shrinking, I'm excited about it. Amen. Try not to let that go much further. Amen. I can't afford it. Eddie said, preacher, he's just trying to be cute, you know. He said, you get them hearing aids? He said, there'll be sermons coming from everywhere. He said, you'll hear them people sitting out there talking about you. Old Brother Bob, he said, they're not going to talk about my pastor. What in the world do you think I did in my heart? Now, Brother Eddie was just joking around a little bit. Brother Bob wasn't joking. He said, they're not going to talk about my pastor. I wasn't worried about y'all talking about me anyway. I can turn the hearing aids off. Y'all won't do that. Amen. Bless me, Brother Wade. I'm going to talk. In other words, there's something lodged in my heart. I believe there's something lodged in Moses' heart. It's recorded in the heart of the man of God, Moses. Secondly, the last thing here, under the last thing, it was recorded right in the heat of battle. It wasn't a leisure time. It was a war time. Now, let me say this tonight. Listen, I'm not going to get off on a tangent right here because I'll never get back to the message if I start this. But I'm telling you right now, there's a battle going on for the soul of the country that we live in tonight. When you get a bunch of people that show up for a meeting, and they're going to scream and they're going to holler because somebody wants to pray. They're going to scream and they're going to holler and they're going to interrupt the Pledge of Allegiance. I've said this before. Listen, let me say it again and I'll move on. They've lost their mind. They don't know anything about patriotism. They don't know anything about the price that's been paid to live in this country that we live in. The freedoms that we enjoy. It's recorded in the heat of battle. Number three, it's recorded in the hall of faith. What do you mean? He said, well, I don't think too much about this guy named Hur. God did. He said, I'll tell you how much I think about it. I'm going to put him right here in a record that is forever settled in heaven. The Word of God. Amen. Let me give you this. It's recorded in heaven. Then the last thing I want to share with you tonight, and this is kind of an unusual thought. The Bible talked about the generations here, from generation to generation. Brother John, this is what I said I was going to share when you and Hayden come down tonight. I believe it's recorded in the heart of Hur's grandson. He said, preacher, what do you mean? I want you to let me read a few passages of Scripture, will you? I'll give you the reference. Let me read them, and you'll understand what I mean. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 31, 2, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Exodus 35 and 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. In Exodus 36 and verse 1, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Here's a grandson. I believe God has worked through Pethel in the life of the grandson. And he too is involved in the work of God. Let me read a couple more portions here. And Bezalel, Exodus 37:1, made an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it. How many knows how important the ark was in the Word of God? Exodus 38:22, and Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. Hallelujah, Brother Steve. Pethel standing alongside the man of God, Brother John, holding his hands up. I believe, you can believe whatever you want to, there was a grandson taking notes. He said, that's the kind of work I want to involve my life in. Moses, you just tell me what God said to make, honey, and I'll make it. Give me the dimensions, and I'll make it. I don't know about you. That blesses my heart. That blesses my heart. He wasn't following his grandfather to the beer joint. He was following his grandfather to the work of God. The Bible said, 1 Chronicles 2:20, and Hur begot Uri, and Uri begot Bezalel. 2 Chronicles 1:5, moreover the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation saw it unto it. Think about that for just a moment. I believe it settled in a grandson's heart the life that his grandfather had lived. It's important how we live. Let me tell you something I've discovered. If you want your children to respect the ministry and the house of God and the pastor, what you say away from this place means a whole lot. And how you live away from this place means a whole lot. Beloved, it's a blessing when kids and teenagers love on the preacher. You say, why is it such a blessing? They're just kids and teenagers. No, there's a lot more to it than that. Somewhere back there in the shadows is a Hur that's lifted up the hands, not tearing down the ministry, but lifted up the ministry. Making much of the things of God. Making much of the house of God. I believe that's important tonight, don't you? I don't remember exactly how it goes, but I read this years ago, and I can't remember exactly how it goes, but anyway, I got it close now anyway. Family was having the preacher over for dinner on Sunday. And after church, the preacher was standing and shaking hands. And one of the little boys in the family, the preacher said to him, said, son, what are we having for lunch? He looked up at him and said, buzzard. He said, son, what are you talking about? He said, all I know is mom said that old buzzard's coming over again. Now, if buzzard's any kin to chicken, I'll try it. Say amen. Them kids will tell on you. Their attitudes, their actions will tell on you. We need more people like her. A couple of things in closing. There may be some here tonight that can relate to her. You're dedicated to the Lord. You pray. never get recognized much. I was sitting there thinking about, I remember a couple of different occasions when Sister Teresa came and started playing the organ, that I mentioned how good it was to have somebody playing the organ. I look tonight, brother and sister Becky couldn't be here today, but God sent a young lady and her husband. Here's what I want to say. Y'all understand, Sister Teresa, you may make it from here to heaven before I ever mention that again. That don't mean I don't appreciate it. Is anybody with me tonight? If you could just sometime or another, if you could just go over in the fellowship hall when a family's coming in from a graveside service and see 6 or 8 or 10 ladies standing back there at a bar full of food. And most of that, beloved, was carried in. Even the ladies that are serving didn't fix it all. Carried in. And we have service after service after service, like sometimes preacher remembers to mention it. Sometimes he just, it ain't that he means anything. But I tell you what, the her does to her just keeps on serving, whether anybody sees it or whether anybody notices it or not. The Sunday school teachers are off in their classes Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. The youth director. And sometimes pastor will mention something. But most of the time, it's out of sight. And not a whole lot of people understand. Not a whole lot of people understand the study that it takes. When Brother Brian stands here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I don't know how many times Brother Grizzle has said to me, I said, Brother Grizzle, that blessed my heart. He said something like this, that boy studies. Amen. Now Brother Grizzle's old enough to call him a boy. And Brother Brian's like me, he appreciates somebody calling him boy every once in a while. That's a blessing. He studies. Nobody sees all that. Nobody sees it. I sent Brother Brian a text this afternoon looking back at that last lesson. I believe it was the last one on February the 12th that he taught to us here in the auditorium on the power of God, talking about the gospel, the dynamite, the power. And I told him about that boy yesterday. We stood on his porch and God let me open the dynamite and God crushed his heart with the dynamite of the gospel. It is the power of God and the salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Beloved friend, all I'm trying to say is this. Around this church, that there have been men from one end to the other. There's still work to be done. And you don't always see it and you don't always hear about it. And you don't always know who's doing it. But God knows it all. And thank God for men and women like her. They'll say, we're just going to do our part. If we're recognized, okay. If we're not recognized, okay. There's a judgment seat coming. We want to be faithful to the Lord. Some tonight can relate to her. Someone tonight may be thinking about just quitting and throwing in the towel. Let me tell you something right now. We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. I'll guarantee you, I don't know how big a man Moses was. I don't know what his arms weighed and what the rod weighed. I don't know anything about all that. But I know this. Even holding little Sawyer, Bob, it gets old after a while. Your arms begins to feel like it's going to fall off if you don't get a little relief. But they stuck with it till the battle was won. You know what? When the battle's over, we'll have a crown. We can lay it at the feet of Jesus. Let's not concentrate on the crown today. Let's just bear the cross, that God might be glorified in it all. Then tonight, some maybe not as faithful as they could be or should be. May God speak to that heart. There may even be someone tonight that's never been saved. I tell you tonight, it'd be good if you'd trust the Lord before it's too late. How many can say tonight, I'm with her? Let's spell it. H-U-R. I'm with her. H-U-R.